Okay, if we can go ahead on the litigation subcommittee. The only thing on the agenda, I think litigation we've had is the Dahl Dudley recount from November. I don't think there were any other recounts. And I'm not sure that this subcommittee is going to in any way be responsible for the major litigation matter that's before the Senate. That's been handled in the full rules committee. And I'm not sure it was the intent of the chairman of that committee, Senator Bach, to have this committee deal with that. As members know, there have been a group of senators that have met on an ongoing basis. I'm not one of them with the Senate counsel. So we have the two bills in front of us. And obviously, members have had an opportunity to review the bills and to see what they look like. And if I can ask, we have Mr. Rice. Sir, are you with the Jacobson firm?
Yes.
Okay. So we have representatives from both firms present, and we've got the bills in front of us. Maybe Mr. Bodern, because we haven't met before, you could just offer a little bit of history in terms of what the Senate has done in the past. Senator Newman and I were talking briefly on the floor about this, but I think we should have a little bit of history from yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. So the subcommittee has in its packets a memo dated March 6, 2013 that represents my effort to provide some background on this matter. In particular, if you're interested in finding out how this has most recently been handled, on page 2 of the memo there's a description of the most recent payments of various legal expenses. The last time expenses related to a recount were paid was in 2003 relating to the 2002 elections. And you can see the actual amounts paid there were quite considerable. There were 12 separate matters, 7 of which involved an automatic recount. And the total amounts paid by the Senate were $168,000. I think also important for your consideration is the copy of Senate Policy 4.10 that's in your packet. And this represents, this has evolved over time and basically is the Senate's policy for payment of costs and expenses of legal defense. And what I would also add to what you said, Mr. Chairman, is this subcommittee deals with payment of costs and expenses incurred by other individuals. One distinction with the current litigation involving the Senate is that the Senate itself is a party, and therefore the policy isn't directly applicable. So the expenses at issue here, the fees and expenses today, I think are covered by item 1.1, which deals with an automatic recount.
Are there questions from the subcommittee of Mr. Bodern? And I recognize that we've had a variety of matters in front of the Senate. I was not as conversant in earlier days with how things were handled. I had a recount when I was a House member that of mine that I didn't pay any attention to. And then I had a much larger matter my first year in the Senate relative to my first election to the Senate that was much more significant than this, which is a more interesting story that I'm not going to tell right now. But we've got both lawyers here. We've got the bills in front of us. Do members of the subcommittee have questions for the particular attorneys or for Mr. Bodern or questions in general about the subcommittee process? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I may, Mr. Bodern, it seems to me that attorney's fees are not solely based on, say, an hourly rate or the time that's put in, but whether or not the attorney's fees incurred are reasonable and necessary and are a benefit to the client. When I went through the bills, in particular the bill from the Rice firm, there does seem to be a fair amount of preparing material, reviewing material, research, etc. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts as to the reasonableness and necessity of the time that was put in by Mr. Rice on this bill.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Newman, I have not been asked to exercise independent judgment on that to date, and I guess what I would say is, obviously, the subcommittee has that within its purview. If you look at the policy, item 3.2 specifically says that the Committee on Rules, and therefore this subcommittee, may decline to pay all or any portion of a request that it determines to be unreasonable. Obviously, there are a variety of ways for determining that. Attorneys have charged for similar matters, for one, other attorneys of similar standing, et cetera. But no, I haven't reviewed it with respect to that. I can say, looking back at the 2002 expenses, I don't know that either of these bills stands out in relation to amounts that were submitted for recount costs in 2002. The other item I would point out, and again, I know this is not directly what you asked, the hourly rates in 2002, from what I can tell, were capped at about $150 per hour, and that was some time ago. So I know that's not exactly what you're asking. I hope some of it was helpful for you.
Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Potter, and I apologize. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. As Senate counsel, I was simply asking for a little bit of input from you. And I am assuming at this point from your memo that the hourly rate of, I've heard it mentioned, of $150 an hour is not, certainly not binding on this committee. Am I correct on that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Newman, that is correct. There is no amount that's been set as a limit for this subcommittee. In the past, subcommittees from time to time have determined for themselves what they believe a reasonable hourly rate to be and applied that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then, Mr. Byron, then Mr. Chairman, if I may, could I ask you to have Mr. Rice come forward? I'll ask my question. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rice, you know, I've gone through your bill, and you've been sitting here. I'm sure that you heard me state that you know, attorney's fees have got to be both reasonable and necessary, as well as itemized in terms of the time that was put in. And I've essentially got two questions for you. I would ask that you just briefly outline for me why you believe that the fees are reasonable and necessary. When I look at a number of line items where you are reviewing material and preparing material, doing legal research, if you would address that question. And then my second question is a little bit more definitive. There's a number of conferences involved here with an individual by the name of Mike Kennedy, who I believe to be a staff person, but I'm not sure. Mr. Kennedy, I don't think is your client, and yet you spent a fair amount of time talking to him. Could you address the issue of reasonable and necessary in terms of talking to Mr. Kennedy as it relates to your client, which I believe was the senator that ultimately was elected?
Mr. Rice.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. For the record, Brian Rice with Rice, Michaels, and Walther, and it's our bill before the subcommittee's consideration. With respect to your first question, Senator Newman, and I think it's a very good one, I look quickly. We had a total of 53.55 hours billed. My rate, it doesn't show on this form, and it should have, and I apologize, was $150 an hour. And I have a paralegal, Kirk Peterson, who worked on, and his rate was $100 an hour. I put in 36.35 hours, and Mr. Peterson put in 17.2 hours. By my estimate, roughly 30 of those hours were spent either at the canvassing board or on the recount, and there was about 20 hours between us that were in preparation for the recount in terms of training and doing other work. The recount occurred over 3 days separately in Rice, Le Sueur, and Scott County. The recount were really, it was a full day in Rice County. Most of the day went past lunch in Le Sueur County, and we were able to conclude just before noon, I believe, in Scott County. I would say on those things that our time there is fairly represented. Mr. Peterson did not come with me on the third day of the recount in Scott County. As to the first 20 hours on preparation, This was perhaps, I think the questions that you raise are fair. There were some scheduling issues, certainly. One thing that was different about this recount, and I was going to ask Mr. Bonner to maybe correct this, I did do a recount in 2008 for Senator Phoebe. There was a special election there when Senator Wergen was appointed by Governor Plenty to the Public Utilities Commission. We did a recount there. The candidate in that race was not represented. Only the Democratic candidate, Senator Phoebe, had a recount there, and I believe fees were paid in that. But it might be worth just checking on the record. There was significant amount of litigation in 2008 and 2010, the Frank and Coleman recount, and then again the Dayton-Emmer recount. And I probably should have noted in the bills, but in getting ready for this recount, I wanted to basically make sure that I was up to speed on any changes that were made from those two court decisions, as well as legislative changes, because our recounts have gotten more efficient, but there's also been some litigation, particularly in the area of absentee ballots. We did a fair amount of research, particularly in Northfield, because there was a college town that was in Senator Dahl's district in Rice County, and there was a huge fall off between the presidential race and the constitutional amendments and the Senate race. So I thought in preparation for that, it would be good to know what the we've since the 2008 recount set up these absentee ballot boards, which has, I think, improved the system overall and added a lot more integrity into the process. But it did take some additional time. I do think you ask a fair question, though, Senator, on that. So I would say with respect to those 20 hours that was done, a lot of it was just getting up to speed on, you know, election law changes since 2008. But in addition, we did roll up our sleeves and look at the County Canvassing Board reports to see what problems we might anticipate. To your second question, with regard to Mr. Kennedy works for the, I believe it's the Senate DFL Caucus, or I know I think that's it. He works for the Senate DFL Caucus, which is separate from this building. Mr. Kennedy was, in essence, the campaign coordinator. I visited with him on many occasions to find out what they knew about things that had happened in the election, if there were any reports of irregularities or problems that might be developed. He also provided a large number of the staff that did the recount. He pulled in people that were basically field workers in the campaign from the campaign who actually helped us assist us in the recount, so that in effect, when I came into those three counties, I did recount a couple precincts, but largely I was supervising a volunteer staff of probably up to 20 people, and that involved at least two meetings in advance, training those people so they were familiar with the process, what a ballot looked like, how the setup would happen, and what the procedures would be. And Mr. Kennedy, I think, provided me, on behalf of Senator Dahl, valuable information about, you know, what the district looked like, what the different townships would be. It's obviously a fairly diverse district. You go from Northfield and Wright County, which is a college town, to the surrounding townships, into Le Sueur, which is a more traditional agriculture, and then into Scott County, which has a large kind of growing exurban population that you probably see in some parts of your current district and older district. We have like New Market Elko and Belle Plaine and things like that. So I think, Mr. Kennedy's role was largely coordinating this crew of, there were probably a good 20 that came in. Some were there all 3 days. Some just came in 1 or 2 days. And so we needed to make sure they were trained and would be know the rules and the procedures, the Secretary of State's rules, and follow them. And I thought the recount, just a quick comment, it was we started out the training, and I said our ballots, the counting method is 99.98% accurate in terms of the optical scan, reading the ballots and correcting errors. And so I said that out of 40,000 votes, we should expect a variance of no greater than 8 votes either way, up or down for both candidates. And in fact, Mr. LeBeau's candidate, Mr. Dudley, had a net gain of 7 votes. So it kind of proved, I think, the efficacy of the system, at least for the county.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Rice, what was the election night result, and then what was the recount result? In terms of the difference of votes.
Yeah, I believe the election night result was after they'd done a preliminary count, they might have had it 83. The final certification by the canvassing boards was, I believe, 79, and the final result was a net 72-vote win for Senator or Kevin Dahl.
But Senator Stachin, Mr. Dudley, was entitled to the automatic recount.
Correct. There were 40,000 votes cast, and so using the metric, I believe it was half percent, so that would have been a 200-vote number. I would say, if I could, I know there might be some legislation considered in the legislature. I found this would be the third or fourth recount I've done for the Senate. The technologies that's there now that's being used is amazingly accurate in terms of capturing the votes on the machines and the processes that are set up in place, so that it was a again, it's 0.02% in terms of its accuracy, and that's been the standard that they try to use in this, and it's in fact the standard that we've seen in the last couple of recounts that I've been involved with. I know there might be some consideration of whether you actually need to go to the expense on this. One advantage of it is, and you know, Mr. LeBeau might want to comment on it because he's done a number of recounts too. They do kind of act as a safeguard for us to do these things, to just check and say, how good are these things really? How much confidence can we have in the election judges and in the counting equipment? I think the counting is really not the issue. I think the other recount that occurred in the House, the issue there wasn't the counting. It was how they set up the precincts. They had, I believe, 2 or 3 precincts in Alexandria where they co-located 2 precincts, and 1 precinct was for 1 House seat and 1 was for another House seat. If I were going to recommend any changes in the election rules, it would be to require that in any state election race to have precincts in separate buildings. I mean, every time you give a chance for a confusion to arise, it's more in the administration of the election and some of the ballots rather than in the actual balloting machines themselves.
I remember one of my House races where I won the election night by 14 votes, which was kind of an interesting night. But in that instance, there was a mistake made within the voting machines of 100 votes to my advantage. So
if I could maybe add one other point, I mean, I know these bills look disparate, and maybe Mr. LeBeau could address it. Mr. LeBeau actually came in on he was doing the House recount for the House Republicans in the Franzen seat, which he was successful on and had some litigation on. Reed only came down on the last day of the recount in Scott County. I believe he'd done work in advance of that, too, training the staff. The candidate Mike Dudley had relied on, I believe similar to Mr. Kennedy, people who had worked on the campaign, been involved. I know there was a young fellow from Carleton who was his field worker, and he and Lucas Nessie seemed to be the people who were working and coordinating it. And so sometimes in these recounts, you do need to rely pretty heavily on volunteers rather than the lawyers just because of the time involved. We had as many as 6 tables going in Rice County and about 6 in Le Sueur, and we had maybe 8 in Scott County that went so quickly. So it proceeded rapidly in counting the votes, but it's pretty necessary to make sure the people at the table so you don't hold up the recount and, you know, have everybody challenge a ballot and then delay it to, you want trained people at the table who will really only call to our attention, serious challenges rather than having people go in and just challenge everything that moves.
Are there other questions for Mr. Rice?
But Mr. Chair, since I'm here, could I have one other suggestion that the committee may want to consider, or maybe it's not this one, but on 1.5 on payment of costs, You cite to the when a county attorney conducts an investigation of alleged unfair campaign practices under Minnesota Statutes 211B16, payment may be authorized for a candidate subject to investigation if the county attorney decides not to proceed with an indictment, charge, complaint, or if a grand jury returns no indictment. I think since this policy has been adopted, many of these investigations of violations of fair campaign laws are now done through the Office of Administrative Hearings. I think it's 211B34 or 35. And I'm not, it just might be something the committee, as you consider it, that's probably the more likely way a claim for reimbursement might come forward to the committee in the future. County attorneys have pretty much, I believe they may still have the authority to do it, but almost all, they don't even have that. It's all been transferred. Former Representative Lippman worked on that, and I think the complaints now go to that venue.
Thanks for the comment. Ms. Bonner was just talking that certainly we could have direct the staff to suggest a change in a particular policy and have that brought more in line with current statute, and I would suggest that that we do that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wigger?
I agree. I'm curious, either council knows, does the House have a cap on hourly?
Yeah, Mr. LeBeau, did you want to?
Mr. Chairman, members, Reed LeBeau with the Jacobson, Buffalo, Magnuson, Anderson, and Hogan firm, and I represented Mr. Dudley in the recount. To your question, Senator Wigger, I don't believe the House does have a cap on hourly expenses. And I don't believe, I wasn't at the rules hearing last week, but I believe they just approved the bills and there were disparate rates charged from myself and the opposing counsel, which was, I believe, the Lockridge firm. Just to a few of the points that Mr. Rice raised, as far as how the recount went, I would echo all of his comments, just sort of the overall issues that we've seen in previous recounts. I've been doing recounts since 2006, and I represented Representative Franzen in the recount. And I think, you know, this is sort of a perennial issue that we run into every year when recount bills come before either the House or the Senate. And the Senate's been luckier. You haven't had many of them over a good amount of time. You know, I think Mr. Rice would agree. We get sort of the frantic phone call the day after the election saying, I'm within the margin of error. I have to have a recount. And so we try to do everything we can on the front end because we don't know if it's going to go to litigation. We don't know if it's going to go to a contest. We don't know if it's going to be a situation like I had in the House where we literally had more votes than voters because they mixed precincts. And so when you see that prep time, it's because we're really trying to get our arms around how big is the problem. And in Minnesota, you know, we're practitioners of campaign finance and election law, but I mean, that's the people that work at parks in Minnesota have better seasonal hours than we do because it only comes around every other year, and in the Senate every 4 years. So there is sort of a refresh period that you really have to go through as well. And so it's always it's difficult, I think, on our end to try to, I think, necessarily hit the right mark for how much prep time you need because you simply don't know if you're going to be in a contest type of situation, and it's that background work that you really have to go through to figure out if you're going to be in that or not. I only attended the final day of the recount in this race. I was at the House recount the 2 days prior, and you can see from my bill that, you know, shortly after the election, I developed training materials. Mr. Rice is correct. I think on our side we use volunteers as well. And then really trying to do a pretty intensive training with the volunteers to make sure that they understand exactly what it is we're looking for. One of the issues that we had in Scott County on the final day was we weren't arguing with each other. We were arguing with the Secretary of State over how they were interpreting a rule that frankly made no sense whatsoever. They wanted to certify numbers that we both agreed were completely erroneous in a few precincts, and it was really us agreeing that that simply couldn't be done, we weren't going to certify a falsity, that probably took up a good 45 minutes of time. So these are interesting cases. They don't come around a lot. I think in the future you just have to sort of understand that there is an allowance for preparation work because it is so sporadic. But it's also, from our perspective, I don't think any clients, whoever the client or whoever the candidate is going to be very appreciative of us saying, well, we weren't prepared for a contest, so we didn't really look into that. So it does require a good amount of work on the front end, and it's pretty intense work over a very short period of time. We usually have maybe 2 to 2.5 weeks between when the election ended to when the recount will actually occur.
Mr. Chairman, to the point by me, actually, Mr. LeBeau did quite a bit of work in the House involved litigation, and the question was, how do you deal with excess ballots? And the decision he got in that case probably was a key part in terms of maintaining the lead for his client in that recount, and probably established some law in the area where there was none. And the other one, the first recount I did for the Senate, well, I guess I did one before that election contest, but not a recount, was the Senator Sparks one. We walked in with 33 votes, and you would think 33 is actually a fairly large number. But we went into Austin, and 17 ballots had disappeared and were burnt in a fireplace, we subsequently learned, and 33 votes became a handful of votes, and so literally we scrapped over every single vote. So when you dig into the election laws, all of a sudden one little, the rule, the last time the issue of excess ballots was addressed, I think was the Lamont decision in 1910, by anybody in the state. So
did you represent anybody?
No, I did not. I think you had that case, Senator Bowen.
It was my next election.
Right. But, so then that one goes, and you need to basically be ready for stuff that happens, and, what happens when we, there was no real remedy for those 17 ballots that went up the chimney by, they had marked the, people had voted the Wellstone ballot, Wellstone died, absentee ballots for Wellstone had come in, and, they couldn't kind of reconcile them on a count anywhere. And they had also been on a different counting systems and things like that, but you could go cruising along and think, we're fine, and stuff blows up in your face, and what do you do about it?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Wiggum.
I move approval of the, for payment of the recount expenses for the Kevin Dahl, Michael Dudley Senate races as follows: for Rice Michaels, Walker, $8,275.03, and for Jacobson, Buffalo, Magnuson et al., $1,098.84, as documented in their correspondence to the committee. Subcommittee.
We have the Wiggum motion in front of us. Make sure to tell you this. Senator Wiggum, this, if you could maybe just amend your motion, that this would be pursuant to the Minnesota Senate policy 4.10, which is the payment of costs and expenses of legal defense.
Yes.
And then we go to the full Rules Committee. We have a legal motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And you're going to try to amend the rule?
I asked Tom.
Hearing.
Okay.
And then I'll make an effort to talk to you.
Okay.
It really should.